All right. Well, good morning. Welcome to Shepherd of the Hills. It's great to be here with you. I hope you had a great Christmas, that you're excited to be here with us this morning. We are gathered together this morning to worship the Lord. I would encourage you, please rise and begin worshiping God together.
Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good morning. I got it right that time.
Very good.
Please join us in a joyful song, Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive a King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Savior reigns. Let men their songs implore. While fields and plains repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth. Glories of His righteousness and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders, wonders of His love. Joy to the world, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Amen. Joy to the world for a celebration yesterday. As I was thinking about the worship songs that we're singing this morning, I was reminded about the reason for the season's celebrations. Hebrews 13 and 15 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. Then in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Only He is worthy of our praise. So turn your eyes to Him, because there's just something about His name.
Glory and honor.
thou hast created all things, and thy pleasure they are created. Thou art worthy, O Lord, for thou hast created, has all things created, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure created. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and praise.
Sing it again.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
Sing it one more time. Turn your eyes on Jesus this morning.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. But there's something about that.
Sing it again. Turn your eyes to Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that.
Would you please be seated? I have our prayer book in front of me of things that people have asked for prayer for. If you're here this morning and you would like for someone to pray with you after the service, I'd be happy to meet with you. I'll stay up front for a little bit to talk with you and pray with you this morning. But we have a list here of prayer requests, things that people want prayer for now. I'm going to read through the list so you know who to be in prayer for this week. For a man named James Bradley, for his daughter Adrienne, just healing from an infection she's dealing with. If you could be praying for Adrienne, he would appreciate that. Barb Furman has a sister-in-law and a niece who are both dealing with health issues. If you could be in prayer for their health, that would be appreciated. Suellen McCann was recently in a car accident, and she's dealing with some of the health issues as a result of that. Just be in prayer for healing for her, that she'd be able to find a new vehicle. And then she also asked for prayers just for reconciliation between her sons and her family. If you can be praying for her, she would appreciate it. We have one here from Brad Smith. He has two, actually. One's from his daughter, Abigail, who's currently sick. You just pray for healing for her. And then on a sad note, so both of his daughters, Abigail and Rachel, run cross country for the Exeter team. And one of the girls from that team committed suicide on 24th. So if you could just be praying for that girl's family as well as for the Smith family as they're dealing with that loss. And lastly, we have one from Maureen Founds. She just asked you that you pray for her husband, John. John is recovering from back surgery, just that the recovery would go well. So with these things in mind, I want to pray for them now. Would you please bow your heads and pray with me? And gracious Lord, we come to you because you are the great physician. We do lift up to you now, Adrienne, as well as for Barb Furman's niece and sister-in-law, for Sue Ellen and her leg, that you would give her healing. For Abigail, that you would heal her as well, and for John's recovery, that you would continue to work in and through his life. We also pray, Lord, for Sue Ellen's sons, for reconciliation, for her vehicle, and for the family of this girl who passed away, that you would be with her family, that you would be with her friends who are going to miss her. Father, I pray that you'd be with us here this morning. Help us to focus on you as we grow closer to you through the study of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, it is time for our Good News Mystery Box. If I can have you look at the screens, we're going to have our kids' message, the Good News Mystery Box. Good morning, boys and girls. Welcome back, Shepherd of the Hills. Last week, I was at the Canadian border, and I'm still waiting for my passport. In the meantime, I'm traveling back across the top of the United States, sharing the message of Jesus. Now, I'm in Idaho, and Idaho is famous for the Idaho potatoes. Boys and girls, I picked up a potato from the ground and took a bite out of it. It was not very good. However, when you take and deep fry that potato and turn it into French fries, it tastes delicious. Now, boys and girls, I love French fries, but you know what I love even more? I love Jesus more, and the message that he brings, and the gospel message that he came and died for us. So with that in mind, I have my mystery box here. I don't know what's inside it yet, but I want to take what's inside of this and turn into a message about Christ. So, let's see what's in our mystery box today. Oh, interesting. Okay, we're talking about potatoes, but guys, these are chocolate yogurt covered raisins. I'm gonna open these bad boys up. Guys, I don't know if you know this, but raisins are actually made from grapes. And apparently, once you turn it into a raisin, you can cover it in chocolate and make it taste delicious.
Man, that's good. I'm gonna have another one of those. Boys and girls, I want to encourage you, eat healthy foods, but also take time to enjoy life, because this tastes amazing. Wait a second. Somebody tricked me. These aren't raisins at all. These are very spicy. Seriously, who put these in here? This is not what I thought it was. So somebody has They've taken a chocolate-covered raisin box and placed something inside of it that is not chocolate-covered raisins. That's really spicy. Wow, okay. Oh, not what I was expecting at all. Now, boys and girls, in life, you might go through life and you say that you're a Christian and you're trying to put on a good exterior and say that you're chocolate-covered raisins. And on the inside, you're really whatever it is that's inside this box. It doesn't taste very good. So I want to encourage you guys, God's not looking at your exterior. He's looking at what's on the inside, what's in your heart. So don't be like this chocolate-covered raisin box where on the outside you're saying you're doing good things and on the inside you're trying to hide your sins. Give that to God. Return to Him in repentance and He forgives you. I will forgive whoever put this in my box. That did not taste good. All right, with that in mind, let's pray. Gracious Lord, we do thank you for this day. I don't know what this I'm eating is, but Father, I do thank you for these kids. I pray that you watch over them. I pray, Lord, that if they have any sins that they're trying to hide, that they would turn to you, Lord, and ask for forgiveness, that you can continue to lead and guide them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, take care, guys, and have a great day.
There are the kids who are here now. They can head out to the child care room for their class right now. If they want to head out, that would be great. And I still don't know who put that in the mystery box. So for the mystery box, just so you're aware, I don't look at it beforehand. Now, last week I had the puppy in there. That was my puppy. I was fully aware there was a dog in that box. This week, I had no idea what that was, and I thought I was going to throw up. It was a surprise that was less than pleasant. So just for future reference, if you're going to put something in the box, I like cookies, I like brownies, and I like them that taste like they're cookies and brownies, okay? So, yeah, they're a lot of fun to film. I hope you enjoyed it. I heard some people laughing. I'm glad you enjoyed the mystery box. They're a lot of fun to do. I hope the kids get a message out of it as well. If you're here this morning and you're sitting in our sanctuary, you pass by one of our agape boxes. Those are our offering boxes. If you would like to give an offering this morning on the way out, if you want to give an offering in one of those boxes, we'd appreciate it. Anything you give goes to support the mission here at Shepherd of the Hills. I have a list here in front of me as well of a few things that are happening here at the church that I want to make sure you're aware of. First thing, I want to make sure you are aware that this Wednesday night, we're not having a Wednesday night service. So if you come out on Wednesday nights usually, if you come this Wednesday and the building is dark and the doors are locked, then you'll recognize that we're not having Wednesday services and you'll be here by yourself. So don't do that. Don't be here Wednesday. But I do encourage you to be here on January 9th, especially if you're a parent. And here's why. So we have a parenting class that we're offering during the second service from 9:30 to 10:30. We're going to have a parenting class being led by Dr. Ron and Barb Christman. Now, Ron Christman and Barb are members here. So Ron Christman is a professor over at Eastern, and Barb Christman is actually the one who founded our preschool that our church currently operates. They both have extensive knowledge working with children and have actually written a book called The Parent's Legacy. They are going to be doing that parenting class with sole focus on raising children, with a Christian mindset. How it is that you can leave a good legacy to your children. So if you are a parent or a grandparent even who wants to be involved with that class, I would encourage you to sign up online or sign up at the welcome desk. There's a free book that they'll be giving you that you'll be able to use for the class. It will be multiple weeks. It's not just 1 week. But I would encourage you, if you want to do a better job raising your kids, to sign up for that class. Also, things that are coming up, we have the March for Life. That's happening on January 21st. All right, on January 21st, we're going down to D.C. to join in with tens of thousands of other individuals who believe that the unborn are people, that they deserve to have voices heard saying that they deserve life. So we're going down January 21st to join the March for Life. If you want to sign up for that, you may do so once again online or at the welcome desk. The cost is $30. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them for you after the service. All right, and lastly here, we're going to be having next Sunday, January 2nd, Pizza with Bob. Not Bob the Tomato, it's Bob Mendelsohn. So Bob Mendelsohn is one of the missionaries that we support. We've supported him for years. He will be actually in the United States here next Sunday, sharing with you what he does with Jews for Jesus. Now, I have a video here for you guys that will explain a little bit more about his ministry.
Good morning. I just wanted to remind everyone of our missions commitment for the month of January. First, we have Bob Mendelsohn for Jews for Jesus, and he is living in Australia, Sydney, Australia, but travels quite a bit to minister and just make those connections for the Jewish people and help them to know Jesus' love and just learn to accept him as an additional part of their faith. We also have our vision project for January, which is Jorge and Rosa Gutierrez. They are in Guadalajara, Mexico. They are pastoring three different churches. They also have a children's ministry where they provide breakfast and teach the children about God's word. So you may have seen the jar out in the lobby. So we appreciate you helping with that as well as with their church ministries as well. Thank you so much for your support.
All right, so once again, Bob will be here next Sunday after this service, so if you would like to join him for a pizza lunch, it'll be over in the fellowship hall. That's free of charge. We just want you to come out and learn more about our missionaries that we support. Now, two more final things on your way in. You might have walked past a table that had offering envelopes. If you would like offering envelopes, they are on that table. If you are currently at home watching this live, I would encourage you, if you would like those, and you can't come in for some reason, give us a call, let us know. If you're able to schedule another time this week to come in, that'd be great. But we want to make sure you have those available. And lastly, if you look around me here, there are poinsettia plants. All right, if you purchase these for Christmas Eve and you would like to take them today, I would highly encourage it. I do not intend to water these plants. If they don't receive water, they are going to die. So if you do not want to see these plants die, I would encourage you, if you bought one, take them home. If you're interested in one and you just kind of want to hang out for a little bit, all right, if no one has taken it, please take them. They're not going to live if they sit here and no one waters them. So with that out of the way, that's all of our announcements for today. I would encourage you to open up your Bible. If you have a Bible, we're going to be in the book of 2 Corinthians. All right, if you've hit 1 Corinthians, go a little bit further, and we're going to be in 2 Corinthians. Now, I hope that you were able to enjoy your Christmas holiday, that you're able to spend time with friends and family, that you enjoyed having some time off of work. The Christmas season is actually one that's celebrated by most people in America. Between 93 and 96% of people say that they celebrate some form of Christmas. 73% of those people say that they celebrate it as a religious holiday, that they celebrate what it actually is, that it's Emmanuel, God with us. And that's what we celebrate as believers. We celebrate the time when Jesus came down and was born of a virgin, that he dwelt with us, that he decided before even creation existed that there would be this need, that there would be this need for the people to be saved. And so he became Emmanuel, God with us. He came down in order to save us. He grew up, lived a sinless life, and willingly chose to die on the cross. So he chose to be born, he chose to come, he chose to live, he chose to die. And that's what we celebrate as believers, that Jesus Christ has done these things for us. And my message this morning, I'm going to say this again and again and again, you're going to hear it a couple of times. My focus this morning is placing your identity in Christ. The idea that you are, as a believer in Christ, a new creation. I want you to remember that. I want that to be your takeaway, that if you believe that Jesus Christ is God, if you believe that he came and died for your sins on the cross, and that through faith in him, you can have reconciliation and eternal life, you are a believer. And as a result of that, your identity needs to be placed not in anything except for the Lord. That's the focus of my message this morning. So with that in mind, we're going to be beginning today in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Now, this term, therefore, actually occurs four separate times in this chapter. And it always harkens you back to what has come before. Now, when you read your Bibles at home, I hope you're reading your Bibles at home. I hope the only time that you're reading your Bible isn't when you're sitting here in one of these pews. I hope you're taking the time to read at home, but sometimes when you're reading at home, you'll have a devotional book that you'll be reading from, and it only gives you a small segment of the passage. You'll have one verse or two verses or three verses, and then it has a devotional connected with it, which is great. I encourage you to be reading those kind of books. But when you're reading through the Bible, I want to encourage you to try and understand better what the context of the book is, because you get a greater understanding of Scripture as you build the pieces together of how the book, the passage you're reading, fits in the context of the book, which fits in the context of the Testament that you're in, which fits in the context of the entirety of the gospel. So you take, for example, Jeremiah 29:11, a verse that many of you are familiar with. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And they're not plans for bad things, but the plans for good things, a hope and a future. Now, when you take that passage in context, when you think about what that passage actually means, Jeremiah had a very difficult life. Jeremiah was a prophet to the people when the people were at their worst. Jeremiah was a prophet to the people during a time when there was war. And his message was one of repentance. Turn back to God or we're going to lose this war. God will allow us to be judged by this nation. Jeremiah lived through that war, lived through the siege of Jerusalem, watched women bake and eat their children. He watched his friends and families be murdered, taken away as slaves. This was the life of Jeremiah. So I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for a hope and a future. That doesn't make any sense. Except for the fact that the plans that he had were good plans. That Jeremiah's ministry was one that allowed people to repent and turn back to God. As I said, that most of the people who were in Jerusalem were killed. They did die. But there was a remnant, a small portion of the people who turned to God, who were taken into exile, and who 70 years later will return back into Jerusalem and begin worshiping the Lord once again. When you look at that passage in the context of the bigger narrative, it's amazing to see the plan that God had. Now, we're in the book of 2 Corinthians here, and this book is written by a guy named Paul. Now, Paul, he spent about a year and a half with the people from Corinth. A year and a half living with them, working with them, ministering with them, praying with them. Paul was the one who brought the gospel to the people in Corinth. He had close connections with these people. He was in Corinth longer than any other city, with the exception of Ephesus or when he was in prison. He had a passion and a heart for the people of Corinth. We have two separate letters in our Bibles that are written to this people, and there are at least two other letters that he wrote that we no longer possess that are talked about in both 1 and 2 Corinthians. He had a long-standing relationship with these people, and his primary message was trying to get them to understand who they were in Christ. That they were no longer what they had been, but they had been changed into something new, something that was better. In 1 Corinthians, he spends the majority of the time addressing issues that this church is having. He goes through, and they've been having issues with division in the church, saying, oh, I was brought to Christ by Paul, and no, I was brought by Apollos, and they would have these arguments, and Paul literally writes to them and says, it doesn't matter. What matters is Christ. What matters is that you have received Christ, that your identity is found in Christ. As I said, they struggled with a lot of different things, divisions in the church. They had quarrels over lawsuits, issues with church discipline and idolatry, marriage and spiritual gifts, the nature of salvation, the doctrine of the resurrection. They had a lot of issues. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, trying to help them understand what it meant to be a Christian, to be a follower of Christ. Now, as I said before, there are at least four letters that he has written, and the sad part is, in this letter that we're reading right now, the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul has to spend the first half of his book defending his ministry, defending the fact that he is one of the apostles chosen by God. Because there are people within this church who are saying, because Paul is struggling right now, because he's going through trials and difficulties, because he's been imprisoned and shipwrecked and he's been beaten, they're saying that clearly God is not with him. So Paul spends the first half of this book, a little more than half of this book, addressing that issue, addressing the fact that he is one of the apostles that he believes in Jesus and that he wants them to find their identity in Christ. So I want to pick up now, once I said there are a bunch of therefores here, and they actually preclude all the way back to chapter 4. So if you go back with me one page, or if you press a little arrow on your phone, it'll take you back one chapter to chapter 4. I'm going to read 16 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 through 18 says this, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Once again, Paul is emphasizing the idea of a heavenly mindset. Our outer self wasting away, this is a light, momentary affliction. The things that you see are transient. The things that are unseen, those are going to be what is eternal. Paul is saying these things once again. The current situation that he's in, the struggles that he is facing are nothing. They are a blip on the radar in comparison to the eternity of having Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. In chapter 5, verse 1, "For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly bodies," our heavenly dwellings. Now, have you ever woken up in the morning and just kind of like groaned? Like you go to sit up and you're like, oh. Back when I was in college, I had a roommate who was really into adventure education. He loved doing outdoorsy things. That was like his big thing. I mentioned it last time I preached that he took me caving. It's the same guy who went and took me caving. We went out and we decided to go camping. And I don't know what the idea was. We didn't bring any camping gear. I didn't have a pillow, a sleeping bag. I literally had a sweatshirt and that was it. And we went onto this beach and we camped on this beach and I slept on a sweatshirt. And I remember waking up that morning and I felt great. I went rock climbing that day. We went cliff diving. It was a great day. I didn't hurt at all. Last week, my son Wesley's been having bad dreams. I went and slept on his bed / floor. And I woke up the next morning and I went, oh no. My back hurt. My shoulder hurt. My hip hurt. My knees hurt. My body groaned. There are some of you who are out there this morning who your bodies, they just hurt. They're groaning. You're tired of that constant back pain that never seems to go away, or the pain in your hip or knees, or the arthritis in your hands that makes it hard to even hold objects. Your body groans right now. But the beautiful message is, the encouraging thing I want you to take away is Paul recognizes that, yes, in this life we are going to have pain. But that's okay. It is but a temporary, momentary thing, a blip on the radar. And we have these heavenly bodies to look forward to. We have these new dwelling places with which we will no longer have to experience that pain. So Paul is once again reiterating the fact that our heavenly bodies will be perfected bodies. We will not be destroyed. We will go into a new dwelling. So picking up in verse 6, "So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight." Walking by faith is one of the most challenging things to do for a believer. When I think of a group of people who walked by faith, who were called to walk by faith, I think first of the Exodus generation. I think first back to the book of Exodus. The Israelites were a people who did not walk by faith. They lacked faith. I'll explain why. So the Israelites here were under a man named Pharaoh. He was oppressing them in slavery. And in that oppression, they see oppression and they cry out for a deliverer. They want to be saved. God raises up a man named Moses. And when Moses comes onto the scene, they first doubt Moses. And then he starts performing these miracles. He turns the water into blood and he brings the swarms and the locusts and all of these things they witness. And the people believe, they go, yes, God is delivering us to the point where after the last plague, after the death of the firstborn, the Israelites are brought out of Egypt. They plunder the Egyptians, go out into the desert, go across the water that has become dry land into this wilderness. And you know what happens when they enter the wilderness? Their bodies start to groan from hunger. Their throats are parched from lack of water. As soon as they stop seeing God, as soon as they stop seeing the things that God has done, they turn on Moses and say, Moses, why did you do this to us? How could you bring us out of Egypt only to be killed out here in this desert? And so what does God do? He provides for them manna. He provides for them water. And once again, things are great. And they believe that God once again is there and is their God. He leads them all the way to Mount Sinai where they get to hear the very voice of God. And you know how they responded? Whoa. We don't like that. Moses, how about this? Moses, from now on, I want you to talk to God. And then you tell us what he says, because that was just way too much for us. So the people here have seen what God has done in Egypt. They've witnessed what he's done in the wilderness. They have heard his voice on Mount Sinai. And within 40 days of all of this happening, they will build for themselves a golden calf and sacrifice and worship it. Offer sacrifices and begin worshiping it. Do you know why? Because they were not walking by faith. When they saw God at work, they believed that God was good. And when they didn't see God working, they didn't believe in God any longer. Is that where you're at in your life right now? Where you're going through a difficult time and things seem like they're never going to get better and you're questioning, God, where are you? I want to encourage you. I told you that story of Jeremiah earlier for a reason. Because Jeremiah had the exact same thing, where he was going through a life that didn't seem like it was good. And he might have been questioning God, but he continued to find, once again, his identity wasn't established in anything other than the Lord. He recognized that his message of repentance is what God had told him to preach, and that's why he was preaching it. I want to encourage you here this morning, if you are going through difficulties, this is but a temporary thing, a blip on the radar. Your earthly bodies might be groaning right now, but this is not the end. God has promised us heavenly dwellings. So because of that, we walk by faith and not by sight. It says, yes, in verse 8, yes, we are of good courage. We would rather be away from the body at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. We make it our identity. We want everything that we do, the things that we say, and the things that we do, the whole focus, once again, is going to be on Christ. That should be our desire for our lives. Everything that we say, everything that we do, shows that our identity isn't found in anything but the Lord. I'm going to tell you this again and again and again. Find your identity in Christ, because that is the only permanent fixture with which you have. If you are finding your identity elsewhere, it is transient. It is going to pass away, and you will not have it. So we continue on here. As I said, yes, we are of good courage. Paul says this in Philippians chapter 1, that my desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that would be far greater, but to remain here in the flesh is more is a necessity on your account. When he writes to the church in Philippi here, he is telling them, yes, I want to die. I'm ready. I want to be with my Lord and Savior. I'm tired of the struggle. I'm tired of the pain, but I recognize why I'm going through it. Do you recognize why you're going through it this morning? Why you're struggling? It's because God has given you a message that he wants you to share with somebody else. He's not giving you pain just so you can have pain. He's giving you pain so that you can bring others to him. I want to encourage you, if you are struggling right now, you are not alone. I want to encourage you, if you are going through a difficult time, to stay focused on your eternal promise in heaven of a heavenly body and to know that there is a reason why you are still here. And it's to show the love of Christ. Continuing in verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in his body, whether it be for good or for evil. Christ will judge. Christ is the only one who is able to judge. Once again, Christ came. He was Emmanuel, God with us. He has the ability and the right to judge based on what has happened. Therefore, knowing this, it says, Knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. Now, you may or may not know this about me. I actually really enjoy magic shows. I always have. I think that they're really cool. I like watching guys who are able to make things seem to appear out of nowhere. They take up and they roll their sleeves up, and nothing in your sleeves, and then they pull out a card, and they're like, wow, that's really cool, and then somehow they put the card in the deck, and then it appears in somebody else's jacket across the room, and I'm like, I don't know how they did it. Was that guy a plant? Did he have it beforehand? Like, how did this happen? I don't know. But one of the guys that I like to watch is actually a duo by the name of Penn and Teller. I've watched them. They do some really, really cool magic tricks. Now, Penn is actually a staunch atheist. He doesn't believe in the Lord. And he actually says this. He says, how much do you have to hate somebody in order to believe that everlasting life is possible and then not to tell them about it? How much do you have to hate somebody to know that there is a God, that Jesus Christ is God, that he came down, dwelt among men as Emmanuel, that he grew up, lived a sinless life, that he died on the cross for your sins and for my sins, that he rose again and he's offering eternal life? How much do you have to hate somebody in order to not tell them that message? And once again, this is all focusing on finding your identity in Christ. If your identity is not rooted in Christ, you are easily distracted and you fail to tell people about Jesus. I want to encourage you once again, focus on in every conversation that you have, how do I live my life as a result of Christ dying for me? Is what I'm saying right now edifying this other person? Am I building them up? Am I sharing with them the love of Jesus? That is our calling. And I want to encourage you. See, I've often heard it said that you're supposed to show that you're a Christian, right? You're supposed to be loving others. And they're going to see your good deeds and they're going to recognize there's something different. And they might even ask you, oh, what's different about you? I see something's different. That might happen. But I want to encourage you, as you live your life and you live differently, don't be afraid to bring up that conversation. Tell them what's different. Tell them, hey, hypothetically, you're my brother who I haven't talked to in a year, 2 years, 5 years. Hey, how are you doing? Hey, I was thinking about you. Hey, do you know what? I love you. And do you know why I love you? It isn't a result of anything that you've done or that I've done. It's a result of what Jesus has done for me. It's not always an easy conversation to start, but once the conversation has been started, it is one that can change lives. I want to encourage you, be the one to start that conversation. Paul continues on here in verse 12, for we are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. Once again, Paul here, year and a half, lived with these people, knew them well. When it says here, for if we are beside ourselves, could also be seen as, if I'm acting kind of crazy, if I'm acting a little bit weird, it's all for God. Everything that I'm doing is for Christ. Now, if I'm acting sanely and normally, it's so you can understand what God has done. So whether I'm acting crazy or I'm acting rationally, no matter what I say and do, everything that I'm doing is pointing to Christ. Once again, because his identity is found in Christ. In verse 16, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. So even though we remember that Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us, he dwelt with us in the flesh, Paul is once again pointing to the fact that present circumstances, even for Christ, was but a momentary thing. He only had an earthly body for so long until he was resurrected with a heavenly body. So as a result of this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now this past week, we celebrated Christmas. And I said the past week because realistically, people celebrate Christmas more than just on Christmas Day. You generally have Christmas Eve service of some kind, a gathering. You go to Christmas parties throughout the month. I've been listening to Christmas music since Thanksgiving. We celebrate and remember Christmas for a long time. for a lot longer than just that one day. But once again, Jesus being Emmanuel, God with us, was but a short period of time. It's but a short period of time. The pain that you're going through right now, once again, is for a short period of time. And it says here in verse 17, once again, that therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. A new creation. What does that mean? So he's already established here that our body is currently grown. Those aren't new. You keep your body. So to be a new creation means to place your identity in Christ. Now, the rest of my message is going to focus on what that means and what that looks like. See, very often people tend to place their identity in a number of places that aren't Jesus. They place it in, for example, their materialistic goods, what they own, what they possess, how big their house is, all right, their ability to travel and to take these trips, the kind of car that they drive. If your identity is found in any of these things and the things that you possess, Paul is warning them to say, the things that you possess are temporary, they're fleeting, they will be gone. Do not place your value, your self-worth in things that degrade and that don't last. Other people place it in their career. They find their identity in what they do. For some people, it's being a nurse. Oh, I help to save lives. That's my calling. I'm a nurse. I'm a doctor. I save lives. Or a teacher. I help to raise the next generation. I'm teaching kids what's right and what's wrong. It could be in literally, insert your profession here. I find my identity as a blank. I want to encourage you, if you are finding your identity in what you do, you will lose your identity once you're no longer able to do what you have previously done. People oftentimes, when they hit retirement age and they actually retire, they feel lost. And they feel lost because they haven't placed their identity in Christ. They placed it in what they were doing, and once they're no longer working or able to do what they had done, they don't know who they are anymore. I want to encourage you, don't place your identity in what you are doing. Place it in Jesus. Other people place their identity in their addictions, in their sins, in their shame, what they've done wrong in the past. They place their identity not in what Christ has done for them, but in the mistakes that they make and that they continually make. Paul wrestled with this idea. Paul even said, I don't do the things I want to do, and the things I do, I don't want to do. I don't understand what's wrong with me? That's a paraphrase. Well, we have this idea here of our identity, and if you're finding your identity, if it's constantly found in materialistic goods or in the work that you're doing, or if it's found in your sins and your guilt and your shame, you're missing what it means to be a believer in Christ. Your identity in Christ, who you are as a believer, is founded solely upon what Christ has done for you in your life. On the fact that he came, once again, he died for you and raised again. Your identity in Christ is found on what Jesus did on the cross and the testimony that you have as a result. The life that has been changed because of your faith in Jesus. In verse 18, it says this, all of this is from God, who through Christ has reconciled us to himself and given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Four different times here, he talks about the idea of reconciliation. If you don't know what that word means, you don't understand what he's saying here. You can't understand what he's saying here. The idea of reconciliation is a change in status from one thing to another. Think of it this way. You were here, God was here, and you have become like this. Now, I'm not saying you've become like God, but you've become utilized by God. Now, he talks about four different ways of reconciliation, or four different aspects of reconciliation. The first one is Christ to us. Before you were a believer in Christ, you were separated from God. As a result of Christ, you are now reconciled to God, able to be utilized for his kingdom and purposes. It also talks about here of us to one another. Before Christ, you would look at somebody else. You would look at the person around you. And you could look for primarily, you would judge them based on their materialistic goods. You would judge them based on their sins. You would look at them and say, their identity is based on what I see. We no longer do that. We base their identity on Christ. Everyone that you see in this room who is a believer is based on Christ. Their identity, who they are, is not what they do. It is Jesus. The third style of reconciliation was Jesus to the world. Once again, Jesus came not just to save the select few. He doesn't want to save a handful of people. He would like for everyone to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all could come to repentance in him. So Jesus came in order to reconcile, once again, change the status of the world to down here to bring it up here. And the beautiful part of this message right here, the fourth reconciliation, is us to the world. He wants to utilize you and me in order to do this. If God wanted to, he could speak from heaven now and say, turn back to me, repent and turn back. I told you a story earlier of Exodus, where they're at Mount Sinai and the people hear from God. How did that turn out? Not well. They heard the voice of God, but when they stopped hearing it, they turned away. In the same way, if God were to do that now, the same thing could happen. Where if God spoke from heaven and said, repent and turn back, people could choose not to listen. So what has he done? He has given us a ministry of reconciliation, able to focus and found our identity in Christ, so that as we live our lives, people can see what it means to follow after God. Now, they've done a number of studies on this kind of stuff to figure out how much information people are actually able to retain from presentations. And it's roughly, they found, about 10% of the information that I've said this morning you have retained. Now, they say that after a year, less than 1% of the information is still retained. The reason I bring this up, if you take nothing else away from my message, I want you to remember this. Your identity is found in Christ. Do not define yourself based on the things that you have, the things that you do, or the things that you have done. Find it in what Jesus Christ has done for you. In verse 20, it says this, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we leave from here, remember that you are created in the image of a God who loves you, who knew you before you were born, who has a plan for your life, and who wants you to find your identity in him. So with that in mind, let's pray. And gracious Lord, I am so thankful that I'm not defined by my sins, Father, that you have forgiven me of those, and those are washed as white as snow. Father, I'm thankful that I don't have to find my identity in what I can do, Father, than the things that I own, but that my identity, Lord, is found solely in who you are, that you are a God who loves and a God who saves. Father, I pray this morning that there is somebody who is hearing this message that doesn't know you. Father, that they would receive reconciliation this morning, that they would have a change in their status, that they would go from being one who is opposed to you to one who serves you. Father, I also ask that if there are those this morning who are hurting, who are in pain, that you would be with them. Father, that you would take that pain away. We know it's temporary pain, but Father, it's still pain. I ask that you would be with them, give them the peace that surpasses understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please rise as we conclude the service with one more song?
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let us receive a King. Let every heart prepare his room, and heaven and angels sing, and heaven and angels sing.
Again, one more time. Joy to the world,
the Lord is come. Let us receive a King. Let every heart prepare his room, and heaven and angels sing.
Once again, Lord, I pray that we would find our identity in you, that we would take that identity and show it to the world, that we would be your ambassadors to a nation, to a world that is hurting. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, if you would like prayer this morning, feel free to come forward. If not, have a great week, and I look forward to seeing you next Sunday. God bless.